This is Rhode Island Public Radio. I'm Elizabeth Harrison. Today we look at what impact the Trump presidency is having on race relations and the outlook for electing more candidates of color. For insight on this issue and more, we turn to Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hey there, Scott.
Good morning, everyone.
And Providence NAACP leader Jim Vincent. Welcome to Rhode Island Public Radio.
Good morning, everyone.
In just a few weeks, residents of Massachusetts and Rhode Island will go to the polls for a primary election. What's the likelihood this year that we'll see more minority candidates making it into political office?
I don't know. I mean, we have races in Providence, for example. The likelihood of a person of color being elected mayor is high with the incumbent Hoya Laws, and we have Kobe Dennis as one of the three challengers, or one of the two challengers in the primary. There's a number of people running for state rep that I think have excellent chances, and some people running for the Senate. So I think you're going to see some increases in those numbers, as well as the city councils around the state. Don't want to make any bold predictions, but I do think you'll have more people of color at the end of the day this year than ever before in Rhode Island history.
I'm wondering, looking at judges, I know you've been concerned for many, many years about the lack of African-American judges. Now, some of this is unfortunate. We had two fabulous judges, Judge Clifton and my friend, the great lawyer, Judge Walter Stone, who died. And then we had another Judge Clifton, his brother, who retired. So what kind of progress do you think we're going to make on trying to replace those folks? Because we do have judicial openings with folks of color.
Well, and thanks for the question. I think we have an excellent chance of increasing the numbers. Right now, the numbers stand at two, all of two judges of color out of nearly 90 judges and magistrates in Rhode Island, two out of almost 90. So that's unacceptable to me and a whole lot of people. However, you know, you're right. There's about four vacancies that I know of, one in the Workers' Compensation Court, and there's an excellent candidate of color, Keith Cardoza, who's from Providence, that is a finalist for that position, and he spent the last 9 years of his career working on worker compensation issues, so he's as qualified as anybody. In the Superior Court, you have Maria Farrow Deaton, who spent a number of years with the Attorney General's office, both here and in Massachusetts. And I think the young lady who is of color, who is from East Providence, is an excellent pick for the Superior Court. In the District Court, there are two vacancies. There are three people of color, I think, that have made both lists, and they are Casby Harrison, who I think a lot of people out there know. Also, there's a person in the Public Defender's office. His name is Christopher Smith, an excellent attorney, as well as an immigration attorney that a lot of people know out there. Her name is Debbie Gonzalez. So I think that to have those two vacancies in district court filled by any two of those three would be excellent and needed, because even after that, you would only have six out of nearly 90. Still a long, long way to go. And the NAACP is endorsing more judges of color, and those names that I've mentioned, we're endorsing those people.
Jim Vincent, you mentioned that you're feeling encouraged this year about the outlook for minority candidates. Does President Trump have anything to do with the reason for that?
Well, you know, I don't want to blame Trump for everything, but I think that, you know, we have demographic changes in the state, so you would have more people running anyway. But I just feel that people are now thinking they have to take control of things themselves. They can't wait for others. So I think that...
Meaning they can't rely on the federal government.
Can't rely on federal government anymore. And you can't rely on people locally either as well, because they've been disappointed. Our community has been disappointed. So people feel that they need to run and be in those offices to make a difference. They finally understand that, you know, true representation is when you are the person in that city council seat, in that state assembly. And so they're running, and they're going to be winning. They're running good campaigns, and I'm encouraged by the number of people that are really seeking office this particular year. But Trump is a polarizing factor. This country, is more divided now than at any time in the last 50 years.
What makes you say that? What changes have you noticed in race relations under President Trump?
Well, I think race relations have been hardened. People now are in their own corners, more or less. People are afraid to even talk about politics. I mean, let's face it, Trump's a misogynist, he's a homophobe, he's an Islamophobe, and a racist.
Strong words that I'm sure his supporters would disagree with.
Well, they can disagree all they want. I have factual evidence to back up almost all of those things.
I'm wondering, you've long been an advocate for making sure that more minority folks got hired to public safety jobs. We've seen Providence, with their last few public safety classes, do a pretty good job, but I'm wondering, you're a resident of Cranston. Has there been any movement in the Cranston firefighters in particular?
No, they haven't been. I had a meeting with powers that be at Cranston about a couple of months ago. I told them I'm available to help in terms of that effort, and I'm sad to say that they haven't followed up.
Mayor Fung, you've talked to Mayor Fung about this, and he hasn't done anything?
Talked to him in the past. Didn't talk to him a couple months ago, but I talked to some of his key people and said, look, you know, you have no people of color in the fire department. You have over 200 firefighters. You hired your first woman, I think it was last year. We got to do radical change here. And I'm just disappointed. And I've held my opinion to myself. But at this point, you know, I haven't received any phone calls. I haven't received any emails. So to me, the meeting was, you know, an effort that I made to meet with these folks to make sure that, you know, I'm doing everything I can do to help. Because I'm not trying to just point the finger. I'm trying to help as well. But I haven't gotten any feedback. So I'm really disappointed in my city of Cranston because there are no firefighters of color and there never has been.
Jim Vincent, what do you think would make a difference to improve race relations in Rhode Island and Massachusetts? You mentioned people are hardened in their corners right now.
Well, people just got to be honest about it. I mean, you know, this is a state that where 40% of the people voted for Trump. You know, we call ourselves a blue state, but there's a lot of people that, you know, harbor bias.
Yeah, but you're not suggesting that everybody who voted for Trump is racist, are you?
I mean, a lot
of people didn't like... No. The other candidate didn't like Hillary Clinton, and some people were economically left behind, and that was what motivated them.
Now, sadly, I'm not suggesting that everybody that voted for Trump is a racist or uninformed or just misguided. I'm not suggesting any of that. Everybody has their own reasons why they voted for the president, and I'm not a sociologist. But however, there are a lot of people that, you know, are enablers because when you have the Nazis and you have the Klan and you still support somebody that doesn't denounce those people, you know, because by saying there's good people on both sides and just completely trying to put together a false equivalency, then I have to wonder about you.
Although Trump eventually did denounce, I believe, the Klan.
Yes, he did. Took him a while, however.
Providence last year enacted a Police Community Relations Act that was supposed to address some issues like racial profiling and other things. What impact has that had? Has that helped at all?
Well, interesting that you say that. I guess as of July 1st, not much has happened in terms of that ordinance. It was supposed to be fully implemented, I guess, by July 1st. And, you know, I'm not too sure if anything has happened since then. So in terms of the Community Safety Act or the CSA, nothing has really happened. I mean, I think that maybe there has been some movement in terms of, you know, police being held accountable for stops. You know, they're supposed to be giving some kind of report on stops, not just arrests, but stops. I think the chief did testify at a hearing that that was happening. I talked to the director of Direct Action for Rights and Equality, or DARE, about an hour ago, and he said it's not happening. So I'm not quite sure where the truth really...
What's been your relationship with Chief Hugh Clemons?
I have a good relationship with Chief Hugh Clemons. I have a good relationship with Commissioner Parry. I have a good relationship with the head of the state police. That's not the issue. The issue is policies and its implementation.
Well, we are out of time for today, so we'll have to pick it up next time. Providence NAACP President Jim Vincent, thanks for stopping by Rhode Island Public Radio.
Thank you, Elizabeth.
And thanks also to Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay.
Thank you, Liz.
I'm Elizabeth Harrison. Ian Donis will be back next week. This is Rhode Island Public Radio.